The Bloody Truth by Stephen Hill. Chapter 14. Why Penal Substitution Misses the Mark. For many believers, penal substitutionary atonement, PSA, is as familiar as the cross itself. The narrative is simple. God's justice demands punishment for sin, and in His love, He pours that punishment out on His Son instead of on us. It sounds pious, even moving, but peel back the layers, and you'll find that it paints a picture of God that is neither consistent with Scripture nor with the astonishing love revealed through Christ's suffering and shed blood, a misreading of justice. The PSA framework assumes that justice is primarily about retribution, a crime committed, a penalty owed, and someone to pay it. This is the model of human courts, not the Creator's redemptive plan. Biblical justice, as revealed from Genesis onward, is restorative. It is about setting things right, healing what is broken, and reconciling estranged parties. It is not about satisfying God's need to inflict pain before He can forgive, but is rather akin to a surgeon performing an unsettling operation in order to restore an ill or injured patient. The process can be ugly, but the outcome is beautiful. When Scripture says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, it is not describing a legal fine to be paid. It is describing the natural outcome of the disease of sin. Death is not a penalty that God chooses to impose. It is the condition from which He rescues us. A misrepresentation of the Father. If we accept PSA's premise, we are left with a troubling contradiction. A Father whose love is perfect, yet whose forgiveness is contingent upon first venting His wrath on His own innocent Son. Nothing could be less just. But Scripture gives us a different picture. John 3:16, the most popular verse in the entire Bible, tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is not the act of an enraged judge pacified by violence. It is the act of a loving Father taking the initiative to rescue His children from the grip of destruction. Romans 5:10 says, "Being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of His Son." Notice, reconciliation happened through Christ's faith-fueled death, not through God's punishment of Him. Comparing the PSA theory and antidote truth. Multiple passages depict blood in a way that makes sense only under the antidote model. In Exodus 12:13, for example, God told the Hebrews that the blood on their doorways would be a sign to protect them so that no plague would befall them. The PSA interpretation of this passage suggests that the lambs killed during Passover died in the place of each firstborn, but the passage never mentions any crime committed by the firstborn male children or any required penalty. The Hebrews were slaves, after all, and their children were hardly criminals worthy of punishment by death. Leviticus 17:11 informs us that blood made a protective covering, but the PSA explanation that blood pays for sin by satisfying divine justice fails to explain how inanimate objects needed to pay a penalty for sins that they could not possibly commit. The PSA position simply has no explanation for the atonement of non-human items that can't think or feel, let alone transgress God's law. Romans 5:9 and 10 tells us we are justified by His blood and reconciled to God through the death of His Son. PSA insists that Jesus' blood removed a penalty so that the Father could accept us. But the emphasis in these verses is life, reconciliation, and salvation from death rather than appeasement of wrath. Colossians 1:20 declares that Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. PSA proponents argue that Christ's blood satisfied the Father's wrath, leading to peace. But this peace is the result of reconciliation, not wrath avoidance. A loving Father would hardly be at peace after punishing His perfect Son, but He would take great pride in His Son for offering His perfect life for all of creation. Hebrews 9:22 and 23 reminds us that almost all things are purified by blood. The PSA paradigm would suggest that blood cleanses by covering a penalty through Christ's substitution. But purification, not punishment transfer, is the only and explicitly stated purpose. 1 John 1:7 speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from every sin. PSA would have us believe that cleansing is a metaphor for a penalty being paid, whereas the Greek katharize simply means to make clean and implies nothing penal. Revelation 12:11 depicts the faithful overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. This victory is the result of a penalty paid according to PSA, but the term overcame is in perfect alignment with our champion antidote imagery, as opposed to the corrupt PSA theory. What was really happening at Calvary? At the cross, God was not taking out His wrath on His Son. He was, through His Son, absorbing the full weight of our condition. Christ became a sin offering, not sin itself. 2 Corinthians 5:21, correctly rendered. He was not made guilty so that we could be declared innocent. He was faithful where every other human had failed, breaking the power of sin and death from the inside. In doing so, He fulfilled the type and shadow of every sacrifice before Him, none of which were about satisfying wrath, but about creating a temporary protective covering until the true antidote came. Jesus is the antitype of the old sacrificial system, and He provided the Father with what He really wanted and what we really needed. Hebrews 10:5-7. The damage of the PSA lens. PSA has endured largely because it appeals to our human instincts for crime and punishment justice. But when applied to God's nature, it distorts His character, making Him seem bound to a code that requires violence before He can love. For a God who is love, 1 John 4:8, this clearly misses the mark. It also subtly shifts the focus away from Christ as our champion and toward Christ as our scapegoat. The result? Christians often see themselves as passive recipients of a legal loophole instead of active participants in the victory of the one who fought and won on behalf of the whole human race. The better story. The better story, the true story, is that God was never our adversary. Sin and death were, along with the adversary. Calvary was not the scene of a family conflict resolved through punishment, but the decisive victory of our champion over humanity's greatest enemies. When Christ's blood was shed, it was not to satisfy His Father's wrath. It was to destroy the disease, cleanse the defilement, and open the way for ultimate reconciliation. Chapter 14. Key Takeaways. OPSA misreads justice as retribution rather than restoration. The Father did not punish the Son. He healed the disease of sin and death. Christ's blood does not pay penalties. It purifies and reconciles.